Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of The Living Daylights.
I watched the second half of The Living Daylights.
And this is the other half.
Watch till you can't.
We're trying something different. That's a different song for a different Bond.
That's right. It's all new Bond. I kind of forgot that part of the song we were doing earlier, but we're going to stick with this one
it's
now.
It's the baseline usually we do, but
yeah,
you know
that's
what?
Right.
Make it a little different. Make it a little different.
With the new Bond, we got a new boy here. He's looking cute. He's got piercing blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
He's got an incredible jaw.
His chin is crazy.
It's nuts.
It's got the buttiest chin. It looks like such a butt.
And it is so like his entire face is so sculpted.
Yeah.
He's looking good. You know, you fucking see this Roger Moore motherfucker. Dude's turning into the Crypt Keeper right before your fucking
eyes. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. Replace him with Timothy Dalton.
We need a sexy James Bond back.
It's so good to see a young James Bond again. Young.
It has
quotes.
Really been a long time, right?
It's been a while.
Because like, even when we saw the Sean Connery return, he's
yes.
old. Like
he's still old.
He's still old.
We want a young James Bond. How old was Timothy Dalton when he was cast in this
I
movie?
I can look that up because I did not have that off the top of my head.
I feel like he was in, if I had to guess. Well, I want you to guess first before looking it up. I'm going to guess he's probably in his like 30s. That's my
guess.
I
think he's probably 36.
Okay, 35.
You're going to say 35?
I'm going to say 35.
41 years old.
Fuck! Okay, here's what I was going to say. He is younger, but he doesn't look like young, you know?
No. He feels like 40. That
he
makes
looks
sense.
Like 40, yeah. I was, yeah.
He looks like 40, we all say, as we all guess 35, 36.
35.
But the thing is, Sean Connery was like 30, and
he
looked like he was 45.
He looked older, yeah, exactly. They're all about the same age, look around the same age, mm-hmm. when they start playing James Bond.
Bond, you have to look like you smoked a ton of cigarettes and have a couple STDs.
Yes, exactly.
Through some stuff.
Well, that was the thing that was kind of cool about this movie is like, I feel like Timothy Dalton brings a level of like, I don't know, like grounded realism to the role now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's like someone who's like, I'm actually going to try acting.
Yeah. And like, he feels like world worn, you know, like, I don't know. There's something about
yes,
him.
I agree with that.
Feels very like he's gone through shell shock. He's seen some insane shit.
It's like the opposite end. You got Roger Moore over here.
Roger Moore is a goofy cartoon
goofy ball
land.
Guy.
Yeah.
You got George Lansenby, who's kind of like in between. He's making goofs, and then you got Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like more grounded, but still making goofs. And then you got Timothy Dalton, who's just like, he's seen some shit and he makes jokes because it's how he copes.
Yes, exactly.
Not because he's like, I want to make a goofy thing. It's like, I've seen shit.
Yeah. And he doesn't, I don't know. It always brings me so much joy to watch these movies with you and mm-hmm. see the beginnings of these characters, like when they're introduced. And I really feel like I got to know what this Bond was going for right off the bat, just getting introduced to him first thing. I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel like he just doesn't want to be a fucking agent. Like, he seems like almost like,
on the verge of retiring.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't seem to get any joy out of it. He seems like this job has brought him nothing but like heartache and pain. Mm-hmm. And he feels like more he's like going through the motions. Like he almost feels like he's like quiet quitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
quiet
like MI6. Yeah,
filling it in.
That's my feeling.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of describing it. Like he's kind of like, I've been forced to be here in some ways, you know?
Like, earlier James Bonds, they all seemed to, like, enjoy the job. They were proud of it, you know? If someone, like, I remember in a previous one, one of the villains was like, you and I, it was what, a man with a golden gun. It's like, you and I are, like, the same, James Bond. And James Bond is like, no, I do what I do for the good of my country and for the good of the queen or whatever. So it's like, there's a sense of pride in his job. Timothy Dalton feels like he's, like, clocking in and clocking out, you know? And there's some people he likes to work with, but overall, he really doesn't enjoy the management.
It's true.
Let me tell you a little bit about the beginnings of this.
Yeah,
movie.
Give me the beginnings, because it was interesting how they introduced.
Well, you know how it starts out is a fucking portal falling.
I love that we never know the name of gun barrel.
A gun barrel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
Well, it starts out as like a hole and then a little portal.
Okay. Get out of here with that nonsense. We're not having this argument again.
Yeah, we're not going to get into this again. It looks like it. When you imagine the openings of this movie mm-hmm. and you imagine James Bond, what do you see around him?
What do you mean what do I see around him?
What do you
him?
See around James Bond when he's walking across the screen and the
gun barrel.
We
weren't doing this again. It's the gun barrel.
No, but what do you see behind him?
Oh, it's just white.
It's just white, right?
Yeah.
And it's pure white.
Yeah.
Like almost like no shadows even.
It's like an Apple commercial.
Yes,
Apple
exactly.
Commercial. Yeah.
Exactly. Here, you see him and you see like a shadow. You see like the like edge of the room. I'm like, something's wrong here. Like, it's poorly. Huh. It's like really lower. Like, it's lit so severely that you're seeing his shadow and you're seeing it almost doesn't look pure white. It doesn't feel like as Kubrickian as like the earlier Bond walking across the screen is.
Well, this is the 80s, baby. They're about to make it more gritty.
That's
you
what
know?
It is. And do you, I'm like, I was just sort of like surprised to see this. I was like, I'm like, he should be in pure, like a pure white room. Like, yeah. You know, like the Mike TV room in like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
They're trying to be like, you know, I think this is a response to kind of like where like Rambo and, you know, Predator and all those like big action movies, big 80s action movies. Like, I think this is a response to kind of like the grittiness those have of like men just getting fucking sweaty and nasty.
He does.
And like being very realistic. Yeah. Well, I don't think you could pull off with Roger Moore, but I think as soon as they got a new actor, they're like, okay, we can get a little more gritty and a little more like
grounded.
Harsh lighting and
you
everything.
See it fucking immediately. Like, that's kind of what I dig about this. It's like it like literally one of the first frames, you're like, this is a different Bond.
Good
this
job,
is a
Broccoli.
Bond for a different time. Yeah. So we are dropped into a test that double agents must infiltrate Gibraltar. It's just a test, though. Like, basically, they're gonna parachute in, and there's gonna be a bunch of guys there. They have to infiltrate the border without being caught.
Okay.
There's gonna be a bunch of people around the border.
They're doing like legit Gibraltar. They're literally going in there. Okay, but they're just using it as a training exercise.
They're doing it as a training exercise. So there are people that are like protecting, in quotes, the edge, like the border of it, and they're gonna shoot them with like paintball bullets. And if they are hit with the paintball bullets, they're quote unquote dead, and they've failed the mission, basically. Okay.
Makes sense.
So this is happening. There a couple people are shot by paintball bullets, but there's one man there who's there to kill everyone. He's there to kill both agents, both the 00 agents and the friendlies in Gibraltar's border.
Mm-hmm.
Border patrols. And one guy gets murdered, and Bond dramatically watches his fellow agent fall to his death. So it's like this one guy is killed by he's like trying to scale this mountain, and the wire that he's connected to is cut by a dude from up above him. And so the guy falls to his death. Bond turns around, sees him fall to his death, and goes to try to find evidence as to what's going on. He finds evidence that the line was cut. Then a monkey jumps in and scares him.
Remember that the real assassin, like during the trainer exercise, really popped off, and you only live twice when he was trying to become. Remember when James Bond was trying to learn to be a ninja? Remember that?
No.
Yeah. He was trying to learn to be a ninja.
That's so long ago.
It was so long ago. And at some point,
guy decided
to be like, I'm going to actually kill you with my.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he's like dressed like a ninja, too.
Yep.
They have a whole like a ninja like ceremony thing, too.
Yeah. It was a lot.
That was a while ago.
That was when he was quit. Sean Connery quit for the first time.
And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
He sees the murderer. The guy who murdered all of his friends and all these other people jump into a truck and drive off. And so James Bond ends up jumping on top of the truck, and the truck, which is full of explosives, catches on fire.
Okay.
And so James Bond and the driver fight. It's very awkwardly shot. I don't know if you feel this way about your half of the movie, but there's some really awkwardly shot like fight sequences. Like it feels like there's like a younger guy and they don't know how to accurately show fighting anymore. Cause I feel like they've been shooting these fight sequences for so long with older men.
It's also the same director, right?
Is it?
Yeah, I believe it's John Glenn who directed. He started directing. Yeah. He's got a streak. He's got 5 Bond movies in a row.
Is this the last he makes, or did he make the next one?
He makes the next one.
Okay, well.
4 Your Lies Only.
Maybe he learned how to direct. Because right now, it's really fucking awkward and bad.
Yeah.
And so they're driving, you know, they're fighting in the front seat. They have to drive through a city full of innocent civilians and innocent monkeys. And eventually, the truck drives off a cliff. And James Bond, who, as we know, parachuted in here, opens his parachute up and flies out the back of the truck.
Could he use the parachute like that quickly?
Because he used the parachute, stuffed it back into his backpack. Okay. I think he was going to just use it the second time.
I didn't know if there was like a special way to stuff a parachute, you know, like a sleeping bag when you get in the compression sack.
Or like how you like fold a flag or whatever, respectfully. Yeah.
I got to respectfully pack this parachute
so that it opens up again.
Otherwise, it might not respect me. It might just close.
Exactly.
And I die.
And so it does open and he flies out the back of the truck just as it fucking explodes.
Cool.
And then parts of the car land on top of his parachute, and so he's just like sinking faster and faster, and he lands on a private yacht where there's this bored woman is on the phone with her friend, and this woman's just like, I'm looking, I need a real man. All these men around here bore me. And then Bond lands, grabs her phone, and starts like calling on the phone, like, I need backup. Like, you know, there's people who are dead. Clearly, he's got no time for funny business. He's got to get down to brass tacks. People are dead. And the woman is like, who are you? And he goes, Bond, James Bond, he says. I love this. I love how these movies introduce the new Bonds. It's like, he is down to fucking business.
I was going to say, that's the interpretation of him. He's down to business, will be involved with women, but does not care about them as much. He's got some shit to do.
He's going to get the job done first, and then he's going to go after the
exactly.
women. So like in this moment, this is a great moment because he's on the phone with the people, and then he's like, I need your help. Reach me in about an hour. And then she pours him a little drink and hands him the drink, and he goes, maybe 2 hours. And then he puts the phone away.
So he can have a little fun.
Have a little fun because he's still James Bond. He's still, you know, he's still chasing skirts.
Yeah.
But he's a bit more intense, this Bond.
He definitely
you know?
Is more intense.
He's a little bit more intense. He's got job to do.
I mean, you look at his face, even just the way Timothy Dalton kind of just looks. Like, his eyes are super blue and, like, piercing. And then he has,
piercing.
He's such a chiseled chin. He might have chiseled chin as well.
He probably does have chiseled chin, yeah.
But, you know, he's just very intense looking.
Very intense. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I'm into it.
It's different. It's a different, like, shade of Bond.
I think that's the thing. It's just, like, we get so tired of seeing the same Bond over and over again. Especially the last one where he's like...
Everyone like, was right, by the way. Everyone was like, oh, you're going to get sick of Roger Moore after a while. And they were right.
They were right. Absolutely. I think the thing is like, Sean Connery also was, like, a bit of a tease, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, popped up multiple times, like, oh, good to have you back. You know, he's like, one more person comes in. You know, every time a new president gets elected and they put an old one, they're always like, Miss Me is always like the poster of the guy who lost or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
It's always with Sean Connery. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I do kind of miss you.
I do kind of miss you a little bit. Weirdly, despite your problems, but you know.
I mean, I guess that's the other thing that I kind of dig about Dalton. I mean, at least the parts that I've seen, it feels like he does respect the women he's with quite a bit. Like, he's not fucking hitting women, like, you know, slapping them, Ethan's acting like this does happen at some point.
It's not the same context, I'd say, as what Sean Connery does, but it's not great.
All right. Well, this is good to know. So after that, the intro starts. It's very cool. We get shots of sunglasses, lots of colors. The song it feels very new age. It's sung by Aha, Take On Me people. And there's a lot of women with guns. Apparently, songs from The Pretenders are in this song, in this movie as well, which is kind of interesting.
Huh.
They're like in the opening credits, like noted. And then we are dropped into... Czechoslovakia. Now, I gotta say, I think this whole stretch of the movie might be some of my favorite Bond story points I think I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. It's because it's so well, it's like, it's that thing, there's this like old screenwriting trick where it's like, a lot of movies, bad screenwriting, will follow the thing of like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. Whereas good screenwriting should be either but... Or how was it? It was like, this happened, but this happened. So this happened. Like, everything needs to build on each other. It shouldn't just be a list of events. Mm-hmm. It should be like, this event leads to that event leads to that event. And I feel like these, like the way this fucking movie opens in Czechoslovakia with Bond doing his whole shit in Czechoslovakia feels very fucking cool. So Czechoslovakia, we're in Czechoslovakia. Bond is there. Yeah. And he's watching music being performed. He arrives to chat with a guy named Saunders, who you don't know.
Nope. I don't know that guy.
And he's like another British agent. And so Saunders is sort of like, imagine like James Bond is like a like SpongeBob and Saunders is like Squidward. I feel like that's the best way of going about
Which is funny because we were just talking about how intense Timothy Dalton was.
In this example, so they're there to, at first you think they're there to kill a member of the KGB whose name is Koskov.
Yes.
Originally you think he's there to kill him. And so he's like, Koskov is over there. And, James Bond pulls out some binoculars to take a look at Koskov. And then his eyes sort of drift over to people playing music on the stage and drifts over to like a lady playing a cello. And Saunders is like, dude, fucking keep your eyes on the prize here. Don't be looking at just, you know,
hot ladies
pretty
playing
ladies.
Cello.
Yeah, exactly. So Bond and Saunders go across the street where there's a view of the theater and they pull out a sniper rifle. But now it's revealed that Bond isn't there to kill Koskov. He's there to protect him because Koskov specifically wanted Bond to be here to ensure his safety when leaving this theater, because there are people out there who are trying to murder him. Okay. So that's the plan. So the performance is over. Koskov sneaks out of the building. And just as he sneaks out, Bond sees a sniper in the window of the theater. But the sniper is the cello player, the lady.
Huh.
Yeah, the lady has like a gun.
Whoa.
And is like pointed at Koskov. And so Saunders like, fucking kill her. Kill her, Bond.
She's but, too hot, though.
Exactly. Bond can't kill her. And so he shoots her hand. Or shoots like near her hand, like hurts her arm, basically injures her. She drops the gun. This is all coming into play. Exactly.
Yep. I'm understanding a lot more now.
There you go. That's what I was hoping for. Injures her. Koskov is safe. But Saunders is like, you should have murdered that woman. You should have killed her.
Somebody sends a pussy, Bond.
Yeah. Well, he's thinking with his fucking dick.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe if I don't kill her, she'll have sex with me.
Exactly. So the cello woman escapes. She's like holding her arm. Nobody suspects her.
Yeah.
And Bond puts Koskov in the passenger seat rather than the trunk.
I would have never suspected if I'm sitting there watching like The Legend of Zelda being played, that someone like, you know, at an orchestra concert, that someone from the cello, like, pull out a gun and decide to assassin.
The only, idea you have of, like, classical music is playing game music. At a concert.
I saw Tar.
You saw Tar. I know. That's what I was going to say. It's if it was the, was it the Monster Hunter music?
Yeah. I'd be in there. I'm going to pop it off.
I wonder if Tar ever had to deal with this shit. Didn't she also have, like, a crush on the cello player in that movie?
Yeah. Exactly. See,
so
that's
Tar
what
is basically 007.
She drove that cello player to assassinate people.
Exactly.
That's the plot.
Okay, so performance is over. The cello woman escapes. She's escaping the theater, but she's like holding her arm.
Yeah.
Bond puts Koskov in the passenger seat of the car that they're driving rather than the trunk. Now, here was the original plan. Was Saunders was going to drive this car with Koskov in the trunk and drive across the border. But Bond's like, no, dude. Like, they're going to look in the fucking trunk the first time, the first like opportunity they get. He's like, I have a better idea. I'll take Koskov with
me. Put him
me
in the engine.
He's like, I'll drive him. I have a whole other idea that I haven't told you about, Saunders. Oh. We're not supposed to tell each other anything. So you meet me at the border, and I will get him out of here and get him to a safer place.
Okay.
So Bond and Koskov drive to a pipeline. This is like the Soviet Union, I believe, right? That they're in Russia.
Yeah.
Okay. So working at the pipeline is this woman who is working with James Bond. By the way, her character, fucking awesome. I don't know. They don't give her a name. They don't give her fucking shit. I love her. She's my favorite character of the whole movie because she just does her fucking job. She's good at it.
I can't remember if she's in my half.
No, she is not. Okay. I think she's a very minor part of my half of the movie. So they have a woman on the inside working at the pipeline. So what they're going to do is they're going to put Koskov in like a little hatch, and they're going to put the hatch or a pod inside of the pipeline. And this pipeline goes across the border into like another country, basically. Oh, and that's how they're going to get into safety. And so Koskov is like, have you ever tried this before? And they're like, we've tested it, but you're the first to actually use it. And they just fucking stuff him in the pod. Now, in order to...
It's like the pneumatic tube. They're sitting up the pneumatic
tube
like a fucking
bank
order. Yeah.
Like he's like he's a Jetson or something.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So he's just like... Aah! So they put him in the pod and it just fucking shoots off in order to make sure that it goes across the border. You know, once this pod is in the pipeline, the pressure is going to go up. And so this woman has to seduce the dude working the control board so that he doesn't look at the controls. So she just goes in there and like tosses her hair back and like opens up her like her
shirt.
Jumper or whatever.
Yeah.
And just grabs his face and just stuffs it in her fucking cleavage.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you don't have time for the song and dance. You just got to get right to the goods.
And it works.
Yeah.
And then once the like readings go down, she like grabs his face, tosses it back, and she just goes like, "How dare you?" And then she leaves.
Incredible.
She rocks. Again, we never see this woman again. I'm sure she's not even in fucking like GoldenEye, the video game, but I love her.
That's when you're not a big part is when you make it into GoldenEye.
Once you make it into GoldenEye. It is funny because sometimes I'll like look up some of these actors like who are in this movie who play like the Bond girls. I'm like, what did you ever do again? And I'll look them up and like literally the first, like the trailer on their IMDb is just the GoldenEye trailer because that's like the most recent big thing that they're like associated with. So anyway, Koskov does make it across the border. Everything totally works out. He seems totally fine. And on the other side of the border is Q. He's there. Here's another thing about these movies. I don't know if I like him. Q is...
So this is the same Q, right?
Yeah, same old man.
Same old man.
And he is a way bigger part of, like, the field operations than I kind of like.
Really? He was kind of a big part in some of the other field ones in the
past.
But
he's a really big part of these later ones.
I barely see him in mine.
Really? Oh, I see him too often. I see his fucking weird old man fingernails. I don't like him. There's something gross about this old man.
Don't be ageist, Mike. Come on.
I don't think... It's an ageist thing. He gives off a weird vibe. He does a weird vibe.
He does have, like, unwelcome grandpa vibe.
He gets really... Because, like, I think he thinks that these movies are shot, like, on, like... 4:3 aspect ratio, so he's always getting really close to people.
That's really funny.
And I'm like, bro, back the fuck up. This is a widescreen movie. You can have way more room between you.
He's like, well, I don't want to be cut off in the pan and scan when it goes to TV.
That's what I think he's thinking, man. So they load him into a jet helicopter. Q loads Koskov into a jet helicopter.
Okay.
Just as Bond meets Saunders at the border, and they make it across just as Koskov takes the helicopter to freedom. And okay. Saunders is super fucking pissed. He's just like, bro, you fucked everything up, that woman. You know, you're always thinking with your fucking dick, Bond. And he's like, I'm going to rat you out to M. Like, M is going to be so angry at you when we get home. That's what it feels like.
Oh, okay.
But Bond says that woman was obviously inexperienced around weaponry and guns. He says, this must have scared the living daylights out of her.
That's how they worked the title of the movie into this.
That's what it is, because she was so afraid to shoot a weapon. She seemed too nervous.
I was wondering why this was called this.
The living daylights.
It's literally just. But this is like the,
as we know, it seems like these are usually based off of books that Ian Fleming wrote. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure, like, if you were to read the books, there would be like meaning behind it. But then when they adapt them in the movies, they're just like, let's just take the titles and like maybe minor characters, you know, and then we'll adapt them into something different. We'll do something different with them, you know. So now we are in London, and now not only has Bond been recast, but so has Moneypenny.
Oh yeah, this is the first Moneypenny I remember.
Did you see Moneypenny in your half of the movie?
No. I don't believe so. No.
Describe. Oh wait, yeah. I mean,
she might have been there for a second in the background.
She is a young blonde nerd looking girl now. She kind of looks like a young Zoe Deschanel or like Chloe Sevigny or whatever name is.
Sure.
She got like glasses, blue eyes, her hair, you know, is always like in a bun or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Bond's like, I need you to look for any female cello players in Russia because we need to figure out who this lady is. Because they've been looking through all the female KGB agents, none of them look like the cello player.
Yeah. So they need to expand their search. That's a big search.
It's a big search, but you know, what is Moneypenny doing? You know, what is she doing? She's not like a secretary anymore. She's just walking around. Is she?
I don't know. She's not the front desk anymore.
No.
No.
She's just sort of walking around like MI6 headquarters.
Did Bond walk in and toss his hat on the hat rack?
No, we see no hat rack in my half of the movie. Nothing.
This is different.
I don't like how different this is.
So different.
This is a different kind of Bond. He wouldn't throw his hat on the hat rack.
No, he would just leave his hat on.
Yeah,
actually, that motherfucker doesn't wear a hat.
No, he doesn't. No. This makes me feel so much fucking better. Because, like, remember when we were watching old James Bond, Sean Connery Bond?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, why is he fucking wearing this fucking hat, like, in the intro? Makes me feel so much better that, like, we were right in thinking the later Bonds
it's weird.
Don't wear fedoras.
They don't.
Never.
They don't.
Never.
But you know what? Style changes, right? So.
Totally. Totally. But what about... Like, what if a later Bond, think about this, because, you know, you're right, style changes. What if, like, a later Bond, like, the next James Bond that they cast, they're like, I'm bringing the hat back.
Oh, yeah, Amazon Services comes in.
Yes.
And they're like, we need to have a M'Lady Bond.
What kind of hat would he wear, you know? A M'Lady Bond?
You know what? Because he's British, and being British is cool, he'd wear one of those caps that, like, newsies wear. He'd wear a newsie cap.
Yeah, newsie cap.
Yeah, because he'd blend in. He'd be like, I got fucking attitude.
All right.
Peaky blinders. I'm blending in with all you lot.
Yeah. So, you're right. There's not a lot to compare this to. But there is still one thing that we're going to keep doing. And that is...
What's Q inventing?
Because this Bond is so serious, he doesn't make jokes about Q's inventions anymore. Q makes the jokes about his inventions.
Oh, what? So we have to do Q jokes?
So now Q...
You know what? That makes fucking sense.
So So Q will this make old man a thing.
Is, I'd imagine that he's just like, well, new Bond doesn't like it. I make these inventions and he doesn't give me... He actually listens when I say stuff, so I don't know what it's like to be respected now. So I'm just going to make my own... I'm going to make fun of myself. It's the only way I feel
imagine
right.
Imagine making your own invention and then, like, shitting on it.
Honestly, though...
Yeah, honestly, kind relatable. Of relatable.
Yeah, like I made this thing. It's all right, I guess.
I think the other reason... Because I've been thinking about that, too. That you make a good point. We're like, old Bond and Q and M... We're always like butting heads with each other, right?
Yeah.
But because it felt like they were like coworkers. But now Q and Bond feel like grandpa and like, you know, like it feels weird to be like butting heads with like this old motherfucker who can like pass away like tomorrow.
Like you never know if you're gonna make fun of him. It'll be the last time.
That'll
you
be
make
the
fun
last time you talk to him, right? Yeah. So it's like there.
That's why he always leaves and says, "I love you." Gives him a little kiss on the head. Because you never know the last time you're going to see
Who
Q.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows the last time you see Q? So we got off subject. So but this, just to say, this is not something that Bond says. This is something that Q says about his own invention.
Got it. Thanks
he
for the
says,
context.
He says, we call it a ghetto blaster. Yeah.
So. Oh, it's like, it's got to be like a speaker with like a bomb on it or something, like grenade or something.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
It is a rocket launcher that looks like a boombox.
Nice.
So it's a person walking around with a boombox on his shoulder, and then he presses a button, and then, like, targeting computer gets in front of his eye.
Does that get used in your half?
Huh?
Does that get used in your
no.
half?
No. Does he get used in your half?
I don't recall that.
No, because like this that. Is one of those inventions that they just show off
oh, yeah,
to show
right.
that, like, Q's still
yeah,
making
yeah,
weird
like the
shit.
One with, I forgot, the one where he had, like, a one that was just a pole that was going up, and then Bond's like, you got a boner or some fucking joke? I don't know. I don't remember what the joke was. Or stupid.
Imagine Roger Moore. Bro, Q, you got a fucking boner, bro?
Sorry, I'm thinking of Cheeky Bond. Cheeky Amazon Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, you like got a fucking British you, Bond. You got a big knob there. You got a knob there, Q. I am on knob's got a Q. Let's all make fun of him. Ah, look at knob. Knobby Q. Knobby Q.
And then he just like shits his diapers.
You'd never know.
You never know. So
what's the next invention? Does he have any more?
That's it. It's only just the one.
All right. Well, that was a great.
That
What's
was Q inventing. So we cut to this guy who kills people with Walkman headphones.
Well, okay. At first, I was like, going to make fun of you because, like, a guy who kills people, but then you pause for a second, a pregnant pause.
Thank you.
With Walkman headphones.
With Walkman headphones. Do you not see this guy in your head in the movie?
I don't think so.
He kills people with like Walkman headphones, with anything he can get his fucking hands on. He'll like tie around their neck. His name is, he's like a big strapping looking fella. Oh my lord, what the fuck is his name? Necros. Name is Necros. You ever mean Necros in your half of the movie?
I mean, I might have, but I don't know his
name. Okay. So he's like this big strapping looking motherfucker, like strong jaw, you know, slick back hair. And he kills the milkman. With his Walkman headphones, and he's killing this milkman.
Oh, I just, you know what? I do see him. I know who he is. I just call him Blonde Man.
Blonde Man.
Because he's very blonde, and he has his hair
I'm going to call him Blonde Man. That's a great way of referring to him. Does he kill anybody in your half of the movie with anything?
He does, but I don't remember him doing anything like choking people out. He just kills people.
It's actually kind of cool, because like he'll murder them with the headphones, so the last thing that they hear... On Earth is like whatever music he was listening
to. Pretty nice. It's pretty nice of him.
Which is actually kind of cool. I'm like, that's a cool concept. So he's killing this milkman at the same estate that Koskov is being kept.
Okay.
So James Bond is visiting the estate. He meets with M and Koskov. And Koskov's like, here's why I defected. He says, the guy that replaced me, Pushkin, has a hit list. Is his name Pushkin?
Yeah.
Pushkin has a hit list of spies across borders that he wants to kill, which would lead to nuclear war. And so... Pushkin's in Moscow now, but he's going to be going to a trade convention, the North African Trade Convention in Tangier.
What are they trading over there?
Well, I'll tell you.
Ooh.
Weaponry.
Oh, okay.
So M and the rest of MI6 leave Koskov to himself, and then the Walkman guy shows up with explosive milk bottles. And he burns the hit list that Koskov showed them, and he takes Koskov prisoner in a medical helicopter.
Oh.
So now Koskov has been – he defected. He was in safety, and now he's been taken by this by Blonde Man. Okay,
Blonde Man, yeah.
All under the nose of British intelligence.
Yeah.
So they're like, this is embarrassing. Like, you know, like we are the laughingstock of any form of intelligence agency. We had this guy under control, and now he's gone. But here's the thing is Bond, after hearing all this, he's like, I don't believe that Pushkin is this psychotic. I know the man. I don't think he would do something like this.
Hmm.
Pushkin, like, you know, and then we learn who Pushkin is. Mm-hmm. And he is Sala.
He's Sala.
Yeah. John Rhys Davies.
John Rhys Davies.
From Indiana Jones and the Ripper video game.
And the Ripper video game. There you go.
If you play it properly.
Yeah, he wasn't in when I played.
He wasn't in when we played, no.
No, you're right.
So this is where I see a nice close-up shot of Q's fingernails. Because I fucking... He's
it really
like,
gets you, huh?
It's so gross.
I'm gonna keep hold my microphone like this.
Yours are fine, man. No, okay. His are like long and yellow.
I bite mine.
And like, something wrong with them.
I bite mine, so I don't have any...
No, and like...
Mine are short and yellow.
That was the first thing. They were not yellow.
I know.
At first, I was shocked because they were so long. I was like, those are long fingernails for... And I'm like... Because a lot of times, you know, you get like a second person, like a stand-in to do all these like close-up hand shots. I would never cast a stand-in that looked like that. Like, you know?
Yeah.
No. So
that's,
it's like...
That's wild. Yeah.
So he's showing off...
Long fingernails on guys kind of freak me out a little bit.
You can have long fingernails. I don't mind if you have long fingernails. Right. I know Ethan is hard. He's like,
yeah.
he's really into like gender roles.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm
care if you have
roles.
Long fingernails.
No,
people.
I think it's weird with guys.
But
I think it's weird with guys.
It's the fact that he doesn't maintain or upkeep them. Like they're...
That's the thing. If they're long, they're usually unkept.
Not all the time.
No, I'm saying generally long fingernails. Guys are like paint their nails and like take care of them.
That's
so that's
what I don't mind that. Ethan's against that. But
no, I didn't say that.
That's what he was saying. But I'm not against that.
Just,
I think
I'm talking
fun.
About like all natural guy fingernails
yeah.
that are long.
Don't
it's
like
weird.
It.
It's
gross.
Weird, yeah.
And they're like splitting and they look like thicker on the outside.
Well, yeah, I think the finger, especially like toenails, like those are all
yeah.
Nasty.
I don't like that shit. Yeah. It's gross. So yeah. That's what his fucking fingernails
get
look
yourself,
like.
Get yourself Manny. That's all we're saying.
Is there not a Manny in MI6 for Q? You know?
He'd probably invent it and be like, this is just as good.
Yeah, exactly. The reason we're seeing his fucking fingernails so much is because he's showing off a key ring that has a stun gas and explodes when you wolf whistle it.
Oh, yeah. But who made that key ring?
Q.
No. It has a brand on it.
Oh, I didn't see the brand.
It's like Philips or something. Okay. It's like a Philips branded thing.
Oh, no. Okay. So Moneypenny has found the cello player. Her name is Kara Milavi, but I'm just going to call her Kara. You know Kara?
Yeah, I call Kara.
Okay,
Kara.
Great. So 007 goes to visit her. He's like following her around originally, and they're on a bus together. And then all of a sudden, these men get on the bus. They flash a badge at her, and they take her off the bus. Mm-hmm. They take her to Pushkin.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bond, and when they take her off the bus, her cello case is left on the bus. So she takes he takes the case, opens it up, and inside is the sniper rifle that she used that very night to try to kill Koskov. However, and this is what I'm talking about of like just good filmmaking. He looks at the bullets inside of the sniper rifle and they're blanks.
Oh.
And inside of the cello.
Does he say, oh, these are blanks?
He doesn't. We're just supposed to intuit that they're blanks at this moment. So right now, if you are paying attention, you're like, oh, those are blanks. But it's not going to give that information to you immediately. So if you don't, you're like, okay, so these are the bullets that were inside of the gun. And inside of the cello case is her address. So he ends up returning the cello case to her home just as she arrives. And she sees her house ransacked. And then Bond is there with the cello case. And he's like, I disposed of the gun that was inside the cello case. You really should have done that. And he sort of just like walks into her apartment and he's like, I want to know what you know about what happened here. Like, why did you do all this? So here's what's going on here. And this is so fucking clever. Okay. So here's how he was able to intuit everything. He's like, he looked at the gun. He looked at the blanks and he's like, why would she be given blank weaponry to kill Koskov? And now Koskov has been taken under, you know, taken prisoner. He's like, Koskov's was never defected. Koskov is actually her friend. She loves Koskov. Koskov bought her this cello. Koskov was the one that was like, I need to get out of here and I need you to
assassinate me.
To act like you're gonna assassinate me. Right? To look out for me or whatever. And so and she's like, I love Koskov. Where is he? Is he okay? And immediately Bond is like, oh yeah, me and Koskov, we're like best of friends. Like, I'm actually gonna be able to take you to him if you'd like. But this is where Bond's starting to pick everything up. Koskov faked everything, that she was the sniper, the defection was a fake. He orchestrated everything. And so Kara and Bond sneak out of their apartment away from the KGB. They're able to do this in a very clever way where he leaves the apartment, and then she follows and goes into a nearby phone booth. And while she's in the phone booth, a truck drives in front of the phone booth, obscuring view from the phone booth to the KGB. Mm-hmm. And while that happens, she takes off her like jacket and her hat that she's wearing, puts it on the cello case inside of the phone booth, and then sneaks out of the phone booth and jumps in the car with 007. And then they drive off. So they're able to basically escape the KGB in this way. However, she still needs her cello because it was so expensive. And so after
and I'm poor out here, and MI6 ain't going to fund that.
No. And so after so much whining, they do end up going back to the theater so she can get the cello. And he is visually annoyed by this.
He's down to business, baby.
Yeah. So then the police are on the lookout for Bond and Kara. They don't have the head start that he was hoping for. So one of them ends up pulling him over, and he uses lasers that is in his car to remove the top of the car from the bottom of the car that is next to them. So they fall off. A roadblock is set up, which Bond blows up and drives right through. Uh-huh. Bond drives his car into a giant shed, and he ends up taking the shed with him. So the shed that he's in is like covering the car. Honestly, Ethan's looking at me with confusion.
No, I'm thinking about how like in the last movie, View to Kill, how much there was like of cars getting cut in half and stuff. And I'm like, is there some new tech that came out in the 80s where they're like, we can cut cars in half and drive them around? Isn't that
cool?
It's
honestly pretty cool when they do it. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's always effective.
So he's driving on ice, on like a giant iced over pond in a shed. And they're fucking unloading, like the KGB are following them. They're just fucking unloading on the shed. So he ends up like driving out of the shed just as it like falls apart, essentially. And he gets his tires all shot out. So he uses the rim of his tire to cut a giant hole in the ice, sending a bunch of cars into the frozen lake below, which is honestly pretty
great. That's
kind of
dope.
That's pretty awesome.
Sick.
That's I kind of love
yeah,
that.
That's pretty
Isn't
cool.
Pretty cool?
It's kind of weird. You know the thing that's weird about this movie?
What's weird about this movie, Ethan?
You're kind of like, damn, these sons are actually kind of sick.
I know, right? I'm like, this is actually awesome.
Like, damn, what changed? Like, what it made me like?
Younger guy.
I guess it's just younger guy. Or like, because like there are some, like you were even mentioning in A View to Kill, there was like a pretty cool sequence with like the, what was it, the fire truck?
Yeah, the fire truck was awesome.
Like there's some cool moments there, but like it always feels like it's kind of like he's not in control, right? He's kind of like just trying to survive.
That's true. He feels a bit more like in control. I think the other thing too, and I mean, this has to be said, is there's a lot of things that Timothy Dalton can do that Roger Moore just can't.
Yeah.
You know, so like in A View to a Kill, there was a lot of fight scenes that were clearly just like two stuntmen going at each other. Whereas here it's like Timothy Dalton's actually able to do certain things, which is pretty awesome, I think. So anyway, he presses a button, skis pop out of the car that he's in, and uses a rocket motor to escape the KGB army. It's perfectly great. The car slides down a mountain, totaling it. So he sets the car to self-destruct, and they're like, we need to get down to the mountain and get into Vienna. You know, the border's just right over there. What are we going to do? But they have the cello with them and a new cello case, because the cello was in a new case. So they open up the case. One of them sits in one side of the case. The other one sits in the other side of the case. And they use the cello as a means of moving the case around.
It's so expensive, though.
It is expensive. But you know what else they're going to do? Well. And here's the other great thing about this. So they're sliding down a snowy hill inside of a cello case. And Ethan, not one frame of rear screen projection, feels incredible to see them going down an icy, snowy mountain.
I was
going to
say, they almost never do the rear
screen
reduction.
A little bit, but not as much. Oh, okay. And it's such a relief.
It's nice.
And again, I think it's because you have somebody like Timothy Dalton. He's like a younger guy. He's like, yeah, put a fucking camera in front of me. I don't fucking care, you know?
I'll slide down this in a fucking case.
Who gives a shit? So they slide across the border. This part's actually really great because they have the cello in hand, and there's like a border guard with like not a drawbridge, but a thing that goes up and down.
I don't know what those are called, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
So they have to slide under it, but the cello's too big. So they throw the cello up in the air, slide under it, catch it on the other side, and then they say, we have nothing to declare except for a cello.
It's very silly.
It's pretty great. So now we cut to Tangier, and we see Pushkin arrive. And inside of a giant mansion, there are figures of historical warlords, Napoleon, Caesar, and Hitler, amongst others. Uh-oh. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, easiest way to know this guy is a bad guy, whoever owns this fucking, you know, home. And now we're introduced
to... No, he just appreciates history, dude.
That is what he says, actually. Yeah, he says that. We are introduced to an American... Brad Whitaker.
Brad Whitaker.
Which is what a great name for a Bond villain and a very American name feeling
as
well.
Oh, it's probably the most American name.
Brad Whitaker.
Yeah.
And so he says, look at, he says, war is man's greatest invention. And he says, these men here, they were the world's greatest commanders. And Pushkin pushes back. And he says, they're butchers. And Brad Whitaker says, they were surgeons. They cut away society's dead flesh. Ugh. So instantly we're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Pretty great way to immediately not like him. There's also one really cool shot where like the camera's like,
you know what sucks though? Is I feel like there's people who like watch it and they're like, oh no, he's got some good points.
He's got a couple of good points. It's Brad Whitaker.
Yeah, it's like when you watch a movie and they're like, you know,
Thanos was bad. You shouldn't like Thanos. They're like, yeah, Thanos had a couple of good points.
Thanos had a couple of good points. Yeah. Or even someone, or you know, someone's like, has a like, oh, you know, humans are ruining the earth with like environmental stuff. You're like, I don't know, but yeah, you also kill a lot of people, so you're bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But some people are still gonna be like, I don't know, maybe.
There's one really great shot where the camera is like panning across all of these like models. And standing in between two of the models is Brad, and he's sort of just standing still. So at first you think he's like one of the models, and then he starts moving, and I'm like, again, it's like really good visual storytelling.
Yeah.
I kind of dug that shot quite a bit. So Brad says that he studies historic battles, and the reason that Pushkin is here is because Brad has attained. I'm going to call him Brad.
Okay.
Brad has attained massive super weapons, which the KGB has paid for. So Pushkin is here to collect those weapons.
Sure.
And Pushkin's like, we don't want them. He's like, give us our money back. We don't want the weapons. Huh. And Brad's like, hey, come on. Like, you already paid for these. I can't do that. Like, I already have these weapons.
Honestly, though, refunds on those seem kind of tough.
Where am I going to do with these? Yeah. Now I have them.
Who else is going to buy these?
And so Pushkin's like, Brad... Which is so funny to call him Brad.
Brad.
Brad. Brad, my man. Brad.
Brad, my new Bond villain. Brad.
Brad, you are not a soldier. You were never in the army. You were kicked out of West Point for cheating, and you became a mercenary. You're not a military man. You don't understand what it takes to be a military man. Which is pretty great, honestly.
Got him.
It got some, like, stolen valor. Instantly don't like Brad for many reasons. And so Pushkin says, I want the money back in 2 days, or there will be consequences for you. And for Koskov, I know the two of you are working together. And then he leaves. Oh. And this is the first we're hearing that these two might be working together. And I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Kind of love that. So we cut back to Kara and James Bond. Kara says that she owes everything to Koskov. And so her and Bond just enjoy Vienna. They're just like enjoying the city. They see all this amazing stuff. There's one really great bit where they're like,
Vienna's nice.
Vienna's beautiful, especially in this movie. Mm-hmm. There's one really great bit where they go to like a hotel and he's like booking a room, and the guy behind the counter like recognizes him. So he's like, oh, Mr. Bond, do you want a room for the, you and the pretty lady? And he says, yeah, but let's get two beds this time.
And he's like, that's not usually what you do.
Yes, exactly. And he goes, oh, what about the regular martini? And Bond says, shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, there you go.
Coming back.
Gotta always say that.
So we cut to Koskov, and he's by a pool covered in ladies.
Oh, yeah.
The pool is covered in ladies.
Yeah. There is a lot of more boobs in this.
There's a lot of boobs.
There's a lot of boobs in this movie. Yeah,
and Brad's one of them.
Yeah, he's a real boob.
And then we see it's like a big wide shot of like the pool, and this guy jumps in the pool. He just straight up fucking belly flops. I don't know. It doesn't look very graceful. It looked like it hurt. We immediately learned though.
That wasn't for comedy.
It was not for comedy. Oh, okay. I think they were supposed to make him look cool, but I'm like, that was a bad dive. Like, damn. You're going to hurt yourself. But we learned that is the Walkman guy, the guy that took Koskov. Him and Koskov are fucking buddies. And Brad shows up and he's like, Koskov, blonde guy, he says, Pushkin wants his money back, and we can't allow him to, we can't give him his money back. That's not possible. And Koskov is like, look, I came up with a master plan. I came up with a great...
Spent on all these ladies being here.
All these ladies we have. No, it was his plan to defect and then give the hit list so that people thought that Pushkin was evil, and then basically like sign a deal that Pushkin was just there to like get something delivered.
Okay.
And then he's like, James Bond is on the case, so he's going to fucking kill Pushkin. And so Koskov is like super fucking confident that everything's going to work out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Brad is like, if fucking Pushkin isn't dead, like soon, a blonde guy, you got to fucking kill him. And then Kosakov's like, why don't we kill another 00 agent just to like ramp the danger up a little bit?
Why don't we just kill another agent for some reason?
And so that's the plan.
I guess to make it seem like Pushkin's more evil.
That's exactly what it is. Okay. So Bond and Kara attend an opera, and at the same opera is Saunders. Saunders is there. And
Saunders is a 00 agent, isn't he?
Yes,
fucking dead.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He is. Yeah, and it's kind of great because we've already got, and this is what I mean by like, it's a very well-written movie because we already have like scenes between Saunders and Bond. So we know like who Saunders is.
Yeah, what's going to happen.
And we know that they don't like each other. But
it's
we know
like
that
Bond's not going to die. So it's going to be this other guy.
We also know that there's like a professional like amount of respect between the two. You know what I mean? So Kara's wearing a very expensive dress that we saw earlier. Bond tells Saunders what he knows. He says, look, Pushkin is behind this. Koskov, like he basically tells, he tells Saunders the plot of the movie that I've just given to you. Okay. And so he's like, you need to contact British intelligence and figure out how to get Kara a passport so we can get her the fuck out of here. And he's like, meet me tonight at a Ferris wheel, you know, at midnight. Mm-hmm. And Saunders is like, I'll do my best. So James Bond and Kara go to a carnival where the Ferris wheel is, and both of them get in the Ferris wheel, and the Ferris wheel stops when it's like at the very top. And Saunders is there and he's like, fucking Bond, like, I gotta fucking wait for him to come back down with this fucking lady. Mm-hmm. So he's like, Saunders just like goes to a place to like wait for James Bond, basically. And when this happens, we see two things. One, Bond is in the Ferris wheel with Kara and they just start fucking making out. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that blonde guy is there following Saunders around. Yeah. So finally, Bond reaches the very bottom with Kara, goes to meet up with Saunders. And he as he's meeting with Saunders, blonde guy sets up some kind of bomb near the entrance of a door. That,
like a restaurant, right?
A restaurant, exactly. And this is what happens. This is your half of the movie. What happens then?
It's getting there. Well, I don't know what's it. So I'm looking at what my notes and it says they're talking about Brad Whitaker, the arm dealer. I noticed Timothy Dalton has a fucking chin in all caps. he's talking to Mr. Bond, you know, Saunders is.
Yes.
Talking about like, I got to find, what's that guy's name? The main guy,
Bond?
No, James Bond. Not James Bond. The main villain guy who's trying to affect that Kara was with.
Koskov.
Trying to find Koskov. Says his place in Tangier. Saunders says, thanks. And then Saunders decides to walk out, and a scary man presses a button.
Okay.
And so you think it's a bomb, right?
Yeah. So, is it not? Because it's like beeping like a bomb.
It's beeping like a bomb. What happens is he walks out the sliding glass door, and the bomb goes off, quote unquote, and it just fucking slams the sliding glass door into Saunders, killing him.
Oh my God!
Which
holy
I did
shit.
Not expect. And Bond's like, what? He starts running around. He sees some balloons. He chases some balloons. He thinks someone's there. He chases someone in a carnival but can't find them.
Blonde guy was carrying balloons earlier.
Okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I didn't know why they was like chasing that.
He's really afraid of it. That's why. He's afraid of Pennywise.
And then Kara's like, did you hear from Georgie? Which is what she calls Koskov.
Koskov, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So I was like, Georgie. And
yeah, it must be very confusing for you.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, he says he's with Brad, some guy named Brad. And he says, oh, well, Georgie said he would help me. Can't we stay here a few days? And at this point, like, I don't know why, but Bond started being an asshole. He was just like, no, we have to leave in the morning.
His friend died.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was just like, I thought he was just an informant. I didn't realize he was like his friend, you know?
That was kind of his friend. He's like a close coworker.
Yeah, he's a close coworker.
It's
right?
A coworker who, like, you know their birthday. That's pretty much like the relationship.
I mean, I'd be
pretty
mad though, then. Yeah, I'd be exactly. Like, can we stay here and enjoy Vienna a little longer? I think is what she was saying. I guess not. So.
She is kind of like a little kid sometimes.
She kind of is.
She's kind of like weirdly innocent.
Despite like trying to usually use a sniper rifle. Maybe that's why she was so obviously bad at
Yeah,
it.
That's why she didn't, yeah.
So Bond is like spying on some guys in, fuck, where did I say they were going?
Vienna?
No, Tangier. We were in Vienna, Tangier. So here they're in Tangier. Bond puts down a newspaper and watches some guys get into a car.
Puts down a newspaper, takes a shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's in a car. He drives a shitty little Audi, I noticed, but then I realized he blew up his other car in the beginning half of the movie.
That's
so I'm
right.
Like, this car looks like it sucks. This is not a very Bond car.
No, it's not.
So he tails him. He puts on these little spy glasses, and he sees a blonde lady go into a hotel out of a car. It seems, happy. I don't know why he's happy about this. I don't know anything that's going on. So I'm just like seeing people
go, the second half of the movie,
going in and out of a car. And I'm like, okay, I guess someone's going in there. And then we see,
blonde lady.
Yeah. It might be Kara. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I would imagine.
No, it's not
Kara.
No, it's not
Kara. Would have recognized
her. No, it's not Kara. It's not Kara.
Money Penny?
I don't know who it is. It's somewhere, some random blonde lady.
But
anyway,
he's happy.
So we see John Rhys Davies go in. He goes into the hotel with flowers. He brings it to a lady.
Yeah.
And the lady seems scared. Mm. And he's like, what's wrong? And then Bond shuts the door behind him because he's in the room and he pulls out a gun.
Right.
Because he basically is like breaking into this place and basically, you know, is holding the lady hostage. And then
are you sure it's not Kara? Kara would know to be afraid of.
It's not Kara. It's someone else.
Okay.
And then Bond pulls out a gun, points it at to John Rhys Davies, puts him on the ground, puts him on the bed, and he's like, "Don't make any sudden moves." He's like, "Do you know about? I wrote Smeertspotten. I don't know what that is."
Uh-huh.
And he says, "That was a Birria operation. It worked 20 years ago." And he's like, "Two of my agents are dead." And Pushkin's like, "I have nothing to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it." And he's like, "Well, Koshko was about to be arrested, but then he disappeared."
Costco?
Yeah.
Koskov.
Koskov.
Costco.
I wrote Costco.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I got Kirkland on the brain, okay? I gotta go do a Costco run.
Gonna do a Costco run after this. Gonna get some hot Koskov, dogs and pizza.
Koskov. Pushkin's like, "We were gonna arrest him, but then he disappeared. Because he actually is a defector, so we're gonna get him." And at this point, Bond's putting together like, "Oh shit, he's the bad."
Yes.
You know, Koskov's like, "They're actually the bad guy."
Yeah.
But then the general pushes a button on his like watch and Bond sees it. And then Bond does something that I'm like, he grabs he gets up. He's like, "You bastard." He grabs the lady, rips her shirt off.
Oh.
And then the guard from the outside that was going to guard Pushkin comes in.
And's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa."
Exactly. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa."
Look at those boobies.
And then Bond has a fight, knocks him out, and then says, hey, ma'am. Go into the bathroom, get dressed, and lock the door. So it was like,
Bond, that's not very nice.
It wasn't very good.
I don't like that.
Wasn't great.
I don't like Bond at this moment.
You don't like Bond?
He's
moment?
Not a good guy.
Oh man, such a quick change.
I know.
Yeah, this is my introduction to him, and I'm like,
no, this is a rough introduction.
I don't know about this.
Two things you've seen him do with women is like be very rude to them.
Yes.
And then rip their shirt.
Rip
off.
Rip their shirt off.
Yeah, I can see you like, not liking him too much
out of here. So then he says, "I'm gonna kill you, Bond, or I'm gonna kill you, Pushkin." And he's like, "Down your knees, put your hands behind your back." Mm. And Pushkin's like, "No, you're a man of honor. Who do you believe? Do you believe Koskov or me? You know who I am."
Yeah, they knew each other from years.
And then
they
he
shared
said,
a kiss.
And the, I know. And then Bond's like, "As long as you're alive, we'll never know what he's up to." And then
he kills him.
Pushkin says, "Then I must die." And then we cut. We cut to Pushkin receiving an award.
Oh.
Pushkin's receiving
died
an award.
Died of embarrassment.
Died of embarrassment, yes. Yeah.
He dyed his hair.
And then we see, yeah. But then we see he's getting an award, and then in the corner we see a blonde guy getting together, you know, the blonde guy. You're
the blonde guy,
putting together a gun. He's about ready to shoot Pushkin, and then all of a sudden, bang, 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 and all his blood flies out of Pushkin, and he's been shot by James Bond.
Oh.
James Bond has killed him.
With squibs.
Yes, exactly. He shoots him publicly, and then Bond runs away, and like the blonde guy's like, "Huh, okay." So now there's a rooftop chase where they're all trying to shoot at Bond. Everyone's trying to kill him. Ton of bullets.
Right.
Very bullet heavy. They take
Roger Moore would not be pleased.
No, he would not be pleased. Pushkin's wife seems upset. They wheel him off.
Seems upset.
She seems upset.
Her fucking husband is dead.
She's kind of pissed.
This fucking lady. She's fucking whining.
So they go into the back. They go into a back room, and then he gets up. And he's like, "Sorry, babe. I had to really sell it." She's like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
But it's funny because he's like, "I'm so glad. This is the first time I'm glad James Bond was a good shot." So they actually had like, he had a bulletproof vest on and squibs in front of it.
Whoa.
Which I'm like, that's a lot of work to be like, "Oh, we're just going to do it for real."
Yeah. He shot the squibs.
He shot the squibs.
That is a really good shot. Yeah,
exactly.
Holy fuck.
So Bond, let's see, he's walking around trying to escape, trying to evade kind of the authorities. But then some blonde ladies come by. And the music cues like a saxophone where it's like, "Wee, wee." Excuse me, they're not
sexy
blonde ladies.
Lady.
They're just sexy ladies. They're very diverse.
Thank God.
Thank God. So then they walk by.
Well, Bond's an equal opportunity seducer.
Yeah, he's DI initiative for his bone, for his venereal diseases. So then they're like, you looking for a party? He's like, seems like a good idea. And he hops in. And then they pull out a fucking gun on him. And they take his wallet. He's like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, all right, we'll take you to the place. So he arrives at this place. And he sees a guy standing there. Mm. And the guy says, what the hell are you doing?
What the hell is he doing?
Going to start World War III? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, Felix. It's Felix.
Oh, my man. He's a white guy still, isn't he?
He sucks. This is the worst Felix I've ever seen. He is so bad at
acting. This is who he should be like.
He says like this. Bond, are you trying to start World War III?
I'm not a fan of this Felix at all.
It's bad.
Well, it's hard to compare to the Felix we saw in what the fuck was the one?
Never Say Never Again.
Never Say Never Again. Yeah. That was the best Felix.
That was the best Felix so far.
We don't know what, honestly, I don't know if I remember any Felixes from any of the latest Bond
movies. There is a later Felix.
Oh, really?
I know exactly who it is. But I'm not going to tell you.
Don't tell me. Because we got to get there eventually. Maybe eventually.
Maybe eventually, if we get there. That's how we always drop little teasers for Mike. It's like a little trail.
Honestly, it keeps me going.
Being like, don't you want to know who next Felix is? Don't you want to know who next Felix is? Are you so excited? This one's not good, but the next one might be good.
It's like a carrot on a stick situation. Yeah.
Don't you want to see the casting?
Felix on a stick.
He's on a stick. So then, yeah, so he says, what are you trying to do, World War III? He's like, oh, this is a put-up job. I wrote, God, this Felix is awful. Cut to the blonde evil guy talking to, I believe, Brad Whitaker, but I don't think it's hard. Okay. To me, Koskov and Brad Whitaker look pretty similar.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they look exactly the same to me. No, they don't. They look different, but it's in separate rooms.
Brad has like a fucking like buzz cut.
Yeah.
Like a short hair. Koskov has like longer, darker hair.
Okay, yeah, Koskov does only show up like very late in my movie, I think, then, because I'm pretty sure he's talking to Brad.
Okay.
Pretty sure he's talking to Brad.
Is he an American with no accent? That's the other fucking dead giveaway. Yeah, the other guy is a fucking KGB agent from Russia.
It is.
Ethan is really trying to get across this, like,
Brad.
I can't tell people apart.
I can't tell people apart.
I'm colorblind.
Well, they don't mention names, so I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I also didn't know who the fuck Brad was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who Koskov was, really. I didn't know what they looked like beforehand. I never seen them. They just mention all these names.
Okay. So it sounds like Brad.
I think it's Brad.
Is he like a heavyweight looking guy?
Well, yeah.
Like short hair?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Tell me what happens. Maybe I'll be able to decipher.
Okay, well, basically, they cut to the blonde guy, and he's like, I didn't kill Bond. Like, someone else did. And they're like, really? Oh, it looks like it worked. It looks like I made it seem that Koskov did transition over or did defect. This is perfect. This worked great. This is exactly how I planned it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they wanted to kill Pushkin, basically take him out.
Right. That's the whole point.
And he's like...
So he's probably talking to Koskov.
I think so.
Koskov is the one that would planned it.
I'm going to... All right, now I'll ship the diamonds, some general guy says. I don't know.
General would be Mark.
Mark?
Yeah. Oh.
Mark? What? Who's Mark?
Sorry.
Who the fuck is Mark?
Mark Whitaker is a historical person who... it's a different guy.
Okay.
I kept mixing up. Was it John?
Brad.
Brad. Brad Whitaker.
Brad is an insane name to put in the Bond movie.
He truly is. I was thinking about this guy named Mark Whitaker. I don't know if anybody knows this, but there's a really
good... All I know is Forrest Whitaker. It's the only Whitaker
Forrest
I know.
Whitaker.
It's only Forrest.
If I see a white man named whose last name is Whitaker, I think about Mark Whitaker.
Okay.
Who they made a really good movie about it called The Informant with Matt Damon.
Oh.
Yeah. Mark Whitaker, based on a true story, a guy who worked for like a corn... corn oil or something like that.
Okay.
And basically went to the FBI and was like, our company is price fixing, and like informed on the business that he was working at because he wanted to run the business. And everyone's like, you're not going to be able to run the business if you inform on the business. And then later on, it was revealed that he was actually lying about not the price fixing thing, but he was basically trying to cover up his own inadequacy at the company, basically.
Oh.
Incredible story.
Wow,
I highly recommend.
That's what The Informant is about.
It's amazing.
That movie,
fucking love that movie.
Anyway, this guy is trying to ship some diamonds out. Brad Whitaker. Brad gets a phone call. He looks upset. Oh, he doesn't say anything about it. Bond walks in on a lady doing
nasty
Kara doing cello scales.
Oh.
And she's like, let's have a drink. And he's like, you don't have to stop. She's like, no. And then she shakes a pitcher that's just been sitting there. I don't understand this part.
Nothing's inside of it.
No, there's stuff in it. It's just been sitting there. Yeah, he uses this warm ass drink. She shakes it and pours it for James. He's like, oh.
Shaken, not stirred.
Thank you. But I noticed very obviously she does not drink. Suspicious.
Oh.
And so she drinks. He's like, oh, you remember it. Thank you. So then he's like, all right, Carr, it's time to tell you the truth. I'm not a friend of Georgie's. I'm not a friend of his at all. I'm actually looking for him. He wants you dead. You actually knew too much. And then she says, like, I was already told the truth. You're a KGB agent.
Oh, no.
And then he's like, wait a second.
What was in that drink?
Yeah, he starts passing out. And he's like, wait. And he rips off her sleeve. And then he sees the scar on her arm. And I was like, what the fuck? And she's like, he's like, you got that while trying to shoot a sniper rifle. And someone was trying to shoot you. And that person who shot you was me. And then he like fucking passes out.
All right.
And then so now she's like, oh, I don't know if this all makes sense then. This is very confusing.
She's kind of an idiot.
A little bit.
She's an innocent.
She's an innocent. She's not really meant for any of this.
Yeah, no.
So now Brad and blonde guys show up and say, hurry. And Kara's in, like, they disguise Kara as, like, a nurse. And they all ride in an ambulance taking Bond away.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a heart transplant as well.
Okay.
With them. And that's what we're trying to pose as they go over the border.
Heart transplant.
Yes. And they look in the heart transplant. It's like a beating heart.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh, shit.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think so either. I don't know if you have to keep... I don't know if the heart dies or it's not beating. Like, yeah. I don't think you have to, like, be pumping fake blood. Also, there's nothing attached to it, so it's just pumping itself? Like, very weird.
It doesn't make sense.
Anyway, so they go out of a cargo plane with the ambulance on it. They drive in there and they fly off. Bond wakes up in the plane, and then Carr is, like, at this point now, like, okay, I believe you. And they're like, let's just double check.
After poisoning you.
Yeah, but there's no one there. It's just him and her.
Right.
And the box. And they open the box. And Bond looks at the heart and he's like, this isn't a human heart. It's an animal heart. Also, you can see the ice is mixed with diamonds.
Oh.
So they smuggled in diamonds through the ice there.
Oh.
So then.
What kind of animal was it?
They didn't say.
Oh,
this is an animal heart.
Mm.
Probably a pig. Isn't like pig hearts like pretty similar to human hearts?
Pigs are pretty similar. Probably. I was thinking like a baboon.
A baboon.
Maybe. Some kind of primate.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So then Bond has to pretend to be sick again because the blonde guy's showing up and Kara has to cover up the heart. And like, actually, she helps him, like, lock it while they didn't fully, like, lock the case up. So it looks like no one tampered with it yet.
Right, right, right.
So then Brad is like, I'm taking you to the proper Soviet authorities. I'm going to turn you into the Russians for murder, Bond. And he's like, I don't think they'll accept you, he says. Brad's like, I've been doing this information for a long time. Like, they're gonna definitely believe me.
Yeah.
So then they land in Afghanistan. And yeah. You know what? Not as bad as I thought it would be.
Okay, that's early.
So Carr grabs a key for Bond. Bond's asking for his little Phillips bomb thing that sprays stuff.
Oh yes, yeah. The key ring.
He asked for that. Carr grabs it. I thought he just asked for a key, but now I realize it's a key ring.
Yes.
So then they bring him out and they bring him to the Russians and they're like, okay, listen, he is an assassin. He almost tried killing him. Please put this guy in prison. Also, Kara is a defector.
Oh no.
So put her also in prison. She's like, what? And then Brad comes up to her and is like, I've done a good thing for you. You can join the Siberian Philharmonic Orchestra. Actually, I think this is I don't know.
It's probably Koskov.
It's probably Koskov.
I don't know if Brad would.
I don't think Brad's around here. I think
Brad's not smart enough to do anything.
Pretty sure this is all been Koskov this whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Koskov's like, don't worry, I like you a lot, so let you join the Siberian Philharmonic Orchestra. Mm. They're really good, despite their posh behavior or whatever, like posh reputation.
Okay.
So then, they enter a prison. And the prisoner guard is a really gross guy. He's like, we haven't had a woman prisoner in a long time.
No, he's from the Bronx.
He's doing
we haven't had anyone to do.
He's doing a different accent, but I'm not going to do that one.
What accent is he doing?
Maybe an Afghanistan accent, because they're in Afghanistan. Did you not get the memo?
I got the memo.
So then there's a prisoner there, and he's like, no, don't. Don't hang me.
He's trying so hard to not do an accent.
Don't hang me.
Don't hang me.
Don't hang me. And they say, don't.
Sir, please, don't hang me.
Don't hang me. I'm foreshadowing is what I'm doing.
Okay.
So then this guy, the guy's like, no, nah, don't worry. They've changed your sentence. Instead of getting hung, you'll get shot. Ah,
that's pretty great.
The prison guy's all evil. he goes, he's like, Bond gets handed the little key ring thing and he drops it and he's like, hey, and the prison guy hits him. He's like, I didn't tell you to get down. And so he gets the little thing up and then he hits him again. He's like, I didn't tell you to get up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, all right, now get up. And then he's like, all right. And the two, he's like, starts struggling a little bit. So the two guards get around him and then he whistles a tune and the two guards get gassed.
Yeah.
And then he immediately starts fighting them off.
Be with, within the gas.
Yes, with the gas. And then he almost gets killed by the prison guard. He almost gets like stabbed with like a what's those things that they use whenever you're done with like a receipt? They put it on like a pole, like one of those stabby poles. I don't know what those are called. You know what I'm talking about? When like they have it on a desk, and it's just a long nail.
They have what on a desk?
Like you've seen these on desks where it's just a base.
Oh, yes. And then the long nail that you put the receipt on in order to hold on to it.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
So it's one of those. He almost gets killed by one of those. But then Carr actually starts helping. She knocks out a guy. A Bond is still like tied up. And the prisoner that was trying to get out holds back one of the guards and lets Bond beat him up. Mm. And then they knock out the prison guards. They lock him back in the jail. And Carr is like, Bond, you did it. We're free. And he's like, Carr, we're in the middle of a small air base in Afghanistan. We're not free.
We are not anywhere close to safe, girl. Yeah. Oh my God.
Which is very funny. She says, well, at least we're together. And then they get ready to leave. And the prisoner's like, hey, come on. I helped you guys out. And then he's like, Bond's like, all right. And he just throws in the keys.
See, this is what I'm talking about when people are like, oh man, the worst Bond girl. Car's done nothing.
She's done nothing. I don't think she's supposed to be the worst Bond girl.
Yeah, but people were like, the lady from the last movie talked with Honeybees about.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh, this is the worst Bond girl. I'm like, I don't know. I think that Bond girl wasn't nearly.
Think about her day. She signed up to assassinate someone with a sniper rifle having no skills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now where is she?
In the middle of Afghanistan in a small air base.
Yeah. And she's safe.
She's free.
Everything's okay now.
So Bond's sneaking around the base, spying on people. They're doing some box moving. This feels very spy shit, you know? Like good spy shit.
Sure. Spy shit.
I mean, because like most of the time in like Roger Moore movies and like...
They're
not doing enough to sneak around a base.
Yeah, like Splinter Cell shit.
Exactly. Splinter Cell shit. That's a better term.
I don't know if it is, but I'll, yeah.
There's more sneaking in that.
Yeah.
So it's very funny because they take disguises off of the guards. And they put her in she put her in a little hat. I'm like, that's really gonna disguise this fucking sausage fest of a party of all these guys.
It is always
out.
Funny how he always keeps coming up like needing to hide the like femme fatale woman character.
Yeah. And it never works out. Never does. Like, never does. There's a lady there. We all could tell because
they're like wearing high heels.
Yeah. So actually they are able to escape. They jump the fence and a bunch of guys appear with knives and they are gonna fuck
100 bad guys with swords?
Pretty much feels like that.
Oh my gosh.
A bunch of guys appear with knives are gonna kill him. But then the prisoner from the place appears and they're like, hey.
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. And they're like, what'd you tell him? He's like, I just told you you're not Russians, so they're not gonna kill you now. Because they really hate the Russians invading.
Yeah.
And it's the part of they're riding through. They actually are friends with them now. And they go with them and they give them horses. And they
this
ride
guy
down.
Is my favorite Bond girl.
This guy, yeah.
Yeah, this prisoner dude.
This is the work of the Mujahideen, is what he said. Mm. It's this the Afghan resistance of the Russian occupation.
Nice.
So, you know, he's teaming up with the resistance, which I'm like, all right, okay.
That's pretty cool.
We're cooking here.
I like this.
So Bond's riding with them. They're so happy the prisoner guy's back. They're led into a nicely furnished room. Unfortunately, it's kind of like a prison, too. Mm. They see what looks like aid coming into a camp, and they treat them poorly. And they're like, what's going on here? So they talk to the prisoner guy. His name is Kamran Shah. And he actually has a very thick British accent.
On purpose?
Yes, that's how he actually talks. He says, "Forgive the theatricals."
Oh, okay.
I've been in England a bit. I can speak like this with this accent.
If this is helpful to you or the audience.
This is helpful to you, yeah. But basically he was like trying to underplay that he was just a common thief when it's like, no, he helps run this resistance program.
At first he was just stealing bread, but then there are these two orphan kids and he gave the bread to them.
Exactly.
And now he's got a genie that can help them figure out
a cool lamp.
And a magic carpet.
So then
he was a common thief originally.
Common thief.
A street rat, you might say.
I don't buy that. So he explains how this is all working. Like Koskov's was gonna buy a high tech weapon to blow up everyone. We hate these guys. He's like, Bond's like, I have to go back. I have to get Koskov. And he's like, no, we can't give you resources to go back. We have other things to do. I can help you after this, but we have to do a drop off. Drop off of Koskov first. We're going to go to Khyber Pass. We'll meet you there. It'll take a couple of days. Bond's like, I don't have days. I need some guys and some guns. And he's like, I can't spell men or horses. So I'll have to help after this mission. So he goes back to his room. And Kara's dressed all nice. She got a fancy outfit now. And he calls
her. What a wonderful day she's had.
He calls her beautiful in Afghan. And he's just like, we got to go to the Khyber Pass. Or you go to the Khyber Pass, I'm going to go after Georgie. And she's like, you're crazy.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. She calls him a horse's ass and hits him with a pillow. I might never see you again. He says, you will. I promise. And they start making out.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Then they travel with the resistance crew. And they're going to do whatever their little deal is. Mm-hmm. And Bond actually grabs a knife and pokes one of the aid packages they have. And it's yellow. And he tastes it. He goes, it's raw opium, Kara. They're doing drugs. They're
making
drugs.
That's fucked.
And so
and it's like, fucked up.
It's like a billion of... Yeah, he's going to get fucked up. It's like a billion's worth of opium in
just sitting
New York.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, they're transporting it. And he's like, hey, you guys are selling opium? He brings up to the boss guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, so
don't tell anybody.
Yeah, so like we work with the local crime syndicate sometimes, but here's the thing, they basically sell the stuff back to the Russians, and I don't care if the Russians die by our bullets or our opium, like whatever, as long
it's
as they
great.
Die
yeah.
So he's like, okay, so they're doing the deal, and he's like, okay, so like they're doing this deal with Brad, basically, or maybe Koskov at this point. Who had the one with the... Yeah, it was Brad who was trying to sell the weapons,
yes.
Right? So he's basically using this as like a loan, kind of, from my understanding. Mm. And he's like, I'm buying this opium with the money I don't have for those diamonds. And like, okay, well, what if the opium doesn't arrive? And he's like, what do you mean? I don't want to cross paths with like the crime syndicate. He's like, no, after that. He's like, okay, I guess. I mean, I hate them. He's like, all right, well.
I do hate them.
I do hate those Russian guys. So I hate the Russian occupation. So Bond's like, I need a gun and some bombs. And so Bond starts helping pack the opium into the big cargo car, I guess I would say.
Right.
And Kara's
near the cargo cart that they're packing.
Yes, Kara's near it. Or watching Bond get in there.
Watching the cargo car.
Kara's watching the cargo car.
Yeah.
Bond's inside. He actually traps himself in there.
He traps himself in there.
Well, he does it on purpose, I think. Okay. But Kara doesn't understand that.
Right.
Kara's like, oh, he's in the back of the car there, and they're driving off with him. He's trapped. He's back in the opium car. Mm. You got to help him. She goes up to Cameron, and Cameron's like, no, man. Like,
chill the fuck out.
We can't help him. And he's like, well, I'll do something. And she grabs his AK-47 on a horse and just rides after
the cargo cart.
And
boy.
And Cameron just looks at like his crew, and he's like,
fucking women.
That's exactly what he said, and
no
he rides
shit.
Off. Yes, that's exactly what
he's
he
like,
said.
This is why I'm gay. Representation finally in the James Bond movies.
Yes.
Can't wait for this mission to be over to get a nice hot cock in me.
Yeah, that's in the deleted scenes,
yeah,
but I did watch
right.
that part. So Bond's in the back, arming what looks like a bomb. He unloads the opium into a Russian plane. He helps that because he has a little, he has like the whole outfit on, so he's got like his turban on and like a mask and everything.
Right,
so,
right. Like, he is now a full fledged, you know, part of the group,
part of the crew. So you can't see his face. That's exactly the key part. Although he's piercing bright blue eyes, which kind of stand out a little bit, but, you know,
a little bit. But it was like when he was a, you know, it's like when he was a ninja, you know.
He's just, exactly. He just blends in.
He blends in. Yeah, exactly.
He's using his ninja training. So he does all that, but then Bond, some reason, like, is in the actual like cargo plane that they're gonna take off with all the opium, and like his little mask like falls off. Scarf thing falls off. It doesn't cover his face. And then Brad and Koskov like see him and they're like, what the fuck? And then he freaks out, so he just grabs a gun and just starts shooting everyone.
Uh-huh.
Like shooting at everyone, and they're like freaking out, and they're like, oh shit. And they're like, don't shoot the cargo plane, it has all the opium in it.
Yeah, we need that.
And so then during this time when they're trying to like figure out what to do, Cameron rolls in with the crew of everyone and just starts throwing stuff up and blowing it up. He starts throwing grenades, blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
He's just like, bleh. He actually grabs a bulldozer and starts driving around with it. He crushes some showers, some naked guys run out, some naked Russians run out.
It sounds like the end of like the Monkees movie.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, kind
of. It's like a bunch of Russian naked guys. So then, there's a dude in a tank. Yeah. They're throwing up everywhere.
Bond gets into the cockpit of the car, tries to take... Cockpit of the cargo plane. Cargo car. Anyway, some guy just fucking hip fires an RPG from his hip.
Whoa.
Some people are trying to throw grenades at the bulldozer, but then the bulldozer scoops up the grenades and just rams it in their little like bunker and
blows
them up.
That's pretty awesome, honestly.
I mean, they get out, but it's fine. Yeah. But then it's also funny because then the bulldozer blows up, and then a little bit later you see bulldozers in the background. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's just one bulldozer.
Just over and over. They gotta save some money somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
Yeah. It's expensive to rent a bulldozer.
Yeah, but they blew up the one. You know,
yeah, but that's the end of the day.
It's the end of the day.
You made me laugh so hard and like got something in my throat.
So Bond is still trying to fly the plane. He eventually gets the plane going. Kara almost gets caught, but she defends herself.
I hope she's okay.
She's fine. Cameron blows up an oil tanker.
I couldn't care less.
You don't like Kara anymore?
I don't like Kara at all.
Really?
I never like Kara.
How is she different than the lady in the last movie, A View to Kill?
She's just, I don't know. She doesn't do anything.
She helped Bond kill those guys in the prison. She helped.
Did she help them?
Yeah, she helped. She took one of them, like, and held one of them and knocked him over.
Oh, she held one of them
and knocked him over, and then Bond was doing stuff. She's helping.
Well, yeah, all right.
She's doing the best she can.
I guess I'm more just like, I don't know, and this is gonna sound like sexist. She's the only lady in the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Except for that lady at the beginning.
Moneypenny?
No, there was like another lady. You're like, she's super awesome. She showed her boobs at someone.
Yeah, she rocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I've been missing out on.
You hear her first. Michael, I like women to show their boobs to guys and then calls them.
No, she was cool as fuck. I loved her. She was the best. Where is her? Where is she?
Where's her boobs? Bring them back is all I'm hearing.
No, man. She rocked. Oh, shit. Yeah.
That's fair. I mean,
that I missed.
Honestly, I mean, Kara's whatever Bond girl.
She's like
me.
Nothing. She's nothing.
I think the thing is she just isn't. Her acting is just kind of like,
That's the other problem. It's just kind of acting wise. Yeah.
She doesn't really have any charisma or anything. She's just kind of like falling through everything, kind of stumbling upon everything.
She's doing the cello.
Yeah. She feels like Roger Moore. She's just kind of like, things are happening to her. And she's just kind of like, all right, I'll deal with that.
First, folks, Kara is Roger Moore.
Kara is Roger Moore. She's a much younger...
For those who haven't seen this movie but have listened to her previous episodes, imagine Roger Moore as Kara throughout
especially
the entirety of this movie.
Especially the part where...
Timothy Dalton was making out with her in the Ferris wheel.
Or Kara's like, I don't want to lose you. Roger Moore's like, I don't want to lose you, Timothy Dalton. Anyway, so... She catches up to the plane. The blonde guy gets in a car and tries shooting her, but she gets too close to the plane. And... in a car. It could have been
Make
a horse.
Up your mind.
It could have been a horse.
Could have been a horse, a car, or a plane.
But she's in a car currently next to the plane.
Okay.
And Bond like makes a signal like open the back. He's opening the back to like let her in. Help. And she's like, oh, and so she goes back. She drives her car back a little bit and then drives into the back of the plane, the cargo plane. He starts ramping it back up, but the bad guys are also following.
Oh.
And it's Brad and now this I know for sure. It's Brad and the blonde guy.
Okay.
And she's so happy to see him. And she gets up to the cockpit. And is like, oh, I'm so happy you're here. And he's like, listen, we need to figure out what's going on. And then he looks up and there's another plane landing at the exact same time they're taking off. He goes, ah! And he just pulls up. And he goes, ah! And he just tries to take off as soon as he can. And he just makes it just in time.
How is this shot? Is this shot well?
Yes, it looks very cool.
That's awesome.
And then the other plane lands. And they're like, whoa, that was crazy. They look ahead and they see a car. The car with Brad and the blonde guy in it. And they fucking ram into the car and it blows up.
Hell yeah. So they're dead.
No.
Oh.
They get out. They're fine.
Oh, well, they jumped actually, out the very
see,
last
you
second?
You just see Brad, actually. So, okay. So then Bond is now trying to, he's like, oh shit, I got to defuse the bomb. Because he put a bomb in the back of the opium to blow up the plane. But then they kind of changed plans.
Right.
And like stole the plane instead of just bombing the opium and like doing that.
Right.
Also, he hears like a beeping. And I'm like, if that thing's beeping, I feel like they're going to discover that and disarm it.
Yeah, right.
So he's about ready to disarm it. But then the blonde guy's behind him. He got in through the side door.
Blonde guy, so sneaky.
You know, he blonde guy fights him. And then they fight.
Does he try choking him out with anything? Or
no, because the doors are all shut now.
Okay.
He actually shuts the door first, and then he goes to defuse the bomb. And then the doors are all shut. They start fighting. But because they're rocking around with a bunch of stuff, Kara's only job is to keep the plane level, but she's not a professional pilot.
So, yeah, she can barely shoot a fucking sniper rifle.
So she's like, she's here for the cello, you know?
Sure.
She, to the car, the plane's like rocking back and forth. She's trying to keep it straight. And then she decides, I don't know why.
Because she's a bad fucking Bond girl.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're right.
What does she do?
She presses a button and it opens up the back cargo.
Why?
Place in the middle of
why is she making
flying.
Things harder for this poor fucking James Bond?
And so what happens, the thing opens up, everything whips back. All the drugs, this huge package of opium flies out into like a contained net. And the two, you see James Bond and the blonde guy, both are on the back of this plane with these hanging outside the plane on this net of drugs.
The movie opened with James Bond on the back of a plane, jumping out of a plane in a little parachute.
Kind of similar. Yeah. Kind of similar. So then,
see, how can you compare Kara to the seismologist geologist from the previous movie? She was just doing her damn job.
I, again, did not see her half.
See her at all.
I saw her 1 second. She just didn't want to talk to Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, like, fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, your first impression, she didn't want to talk to James Bond. Pretty good move.
Anyway, so they start fighting in the back, trying to, like, simultaneously climb up while push the other guy off.
Yeah.
And the ropes are starting to break because there's so many fucking drugs in this rope.
Right.
And honestly, this is a really cool shot. It looks
This is what I want to hear.
It looks really cool.
Are they like? There must be like actual stunt people.
Absolutely,
like
an
on the back
plane.
Of a plane.
Yeah,
holding a thing. Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Absolutely, the rope's starting to break.
Are there like rear screen projections so you get like close up shots of like
even
Timothy Dalton?
Maybe, but it looked really good. If that was the case, they looked like good rear screen projections. Maybe they're green screen projections.
How dare you!
So the rope is breaking. Bond starts cutting the opium and throwing it out of the net to make it lighter. Annoyingly, it doesn't seem like the bag with the explosives is in the package. Mm. It seems like it's still on the plane. Mm-hmm. So the bad guy is holding on. Eventually, like, they fight enough. The bad guy's holding on to Bond's shoe, and then Bond cuts his shoelaces off and then sends the bad guy to his death. Blonde man is falling to his death.
No!
I know. Bond has a hell of a time, and I'm like, oh, that's it. We're good. But he has such a hell of a time trying to get back in the plane.
I bet he does.
And so he finally gets to the plane. He then is like, oh, I'm good. And he keeps hearing the beeping. He's like, oh, shit!
The bomb!
He finds the bomb. Has literally 2 seconds left. And I'm like,
Jesus.
He's fucked.
Oh, he's
but I realize,
massively fucked.
All he has to do is press a button to say off. Because it's not like a crazy Russian bomb that he has to defuse. It's his own bomb.
Right.
But also, I was like, why didn't he just throw it out of the plane? I guess it would blow up something innocent downstairs.
Yeah,
down
he
place.
Was worried about innocence, which is why he didn't mind a giant Russian man falling to his death. That guy might like land on like a child. You know?
It probably won't be as big of a problem as a bomb, though.
Yeah, but the bomb might
also,
explode.
Also, you
like,
can't
in
like
the air.
Defuse your face. You can't defuse a man. You know, you can't be like, all right, stop killing people. You know.
No. He might land on somebody.
Yeah, I know that, but that's such a like
the bomb. You could like if the bomb would explode in the air.
How would you know that, though? It could have landed on the ground.
Well, depending on the time.
Well, the first time, he had plenty of time. He had a whole fucking fight scene. So it would have fallen on the ground blown up something.
He could have probably stopped it, like deactivated
it. That's what
right?
he was going to do, but he couldn't.
Oh, yeah, because the guy. Because
the guy came up.
Yeah.
And fucked him up. So anyway,
imagine that being the kid's situation. Like, what if like your kid died because some giant like muscle blonde landed on your kid?
That would be insane.
That would be crazy, right? What a crazy anecdote that would be.
Crazy anecdote.
You're at like a fucking party. You're like, man, my kid fucking died the other week. Fucking like blonde man landed on him.
I love that that's how you'd approach your child die. Like, my fucking kid died the other week. That's fucking crazy.
My kid died last week. This fucking guy. Blonde guy.
My wife carried him for 9 months. Yeah. Gone in an instant.
Yeah, she's in mourning. I'm here at the party. Oh, I needed to make appearances.
Yeah, gotta keep living my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fucking sucks, but what are you gonna do?
We're gonna make another one.
It's crazy though. Blonde guys just keep falling out of the sky.
Some of the guys like, dude, that happened to me the other week too.
You also had a blonde guy fall out of the sky.
A blonde guy fell on my kid as
we
well.
We gotta stop this James Bond guy. He really is
James Bond.
He's
yeah,
kind
we're
of
coming
absolute
after
absolute target.
Yeah.
Of these blonde guys as weapons. Anyway, so he defuses the bomb, and then. He walks up to the cockpit. He's like,
very upset.
She's like, what happened next? He says, he got the boot. Right. Mike made a little smirk.
I rolled my eyes.
I rolled my eyes
pretty heavily.
Huh. And then he looks ahead and they're about to crash into a mountain. And he grabs the controls and goes, and he pulls it. He goes up and he makes it over the mountain.
It's like the second time he's done this.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's just funny that, I mean, she did just tell Carr to keep it level. Didn't say avoid mountains.
What is she, like a fucking bad AI?
She's basically as good of an autopilot.
Yeah.
So they fly over, and then they see the resistance, the Afghan resistance, riding around on horses,
cool.
Escaping from tanks that are shooting at them.
Right.
And you're like, oh, man, this fucking sucks. So
yeah,
he turns back around. He rearms the bomb. And while they're crossing a bridge, the Afghan troops cross the bridge.
He drops it on the bridge.
He drops it on the bridge on the Russian tanks, blows up the bridge, and collapses all
that's
the Russian
what I'm
tanks.
Talking
and everyone
about.
Is like, fuck yeah, yeah.
This is Praxis, baby.
And then Cameron like hugs his horse in celebration. He's so happy. And then, yeah.
What about Kara?
I mean, she's happy, I guess.
She's fine.
She's just helping.
She's watching Coco Melon on her iPad.
Yeah, pretty much. But unfortunately, because of that, the Russians were shooting at the plane because they didn't like it. And
yeah, no shit.
They're losing fuel, so they're going to crash. And he's like, hopefully we make it to Pakistan. And then the plane engine just stops. He's like, oh, shit.
Nope.
And they're like, oh, man, there's no place to put the plane down. And he's like, quick, get in the Jeep, quickly. Put on your seatbelt.
Mm.
And they, like, eject out of the plane, out of the Jeep just in time. Like, okay, so when I pictured this, I pictured them, like, popping out, the Jeep falls, they pull out the parachute, and the Jeep, like...
No.
It's, like, literally, they're about ready to crash,
yeah.
And then they parachute out, and they just kind of land on the ground, like, pretty roughly, and then the plane crashes into
That's
the wall.
Honestly kind of cool.
It was pretty cool. I just did not... It didn't feel like the movie communicated that well.
You communicated it well.
I did.
Very well.
I'm not the movie, though.
You're not the movie.
I explained it in human terms for a podcast format, not a visual medium.
Yeah. I can picture it in my head.
Oh, well,
it looks incredible.
Thank you. It's kind of cool. So then they start driving around, and he's like two signs. One of them points to Karachi, and he says, ah, I know a great restaurant in Karachi. We could just make dinner. Then he goes and drives
off. Is that the end of the movie?
No, not quite.
Oh, that feels like that should be the last line of the movie.
It would have been pretty good, but they still got a couple things to wrap up.
Like what?
A couple of things. I mean, what happened to Pushkin?
Who cares?
Also, Brad's not dead.
Yeah, whatever.
He just goes free.
Let's go get some dinner. It's been a long day. Kostkov's dead, right?
Kostkov? I think Kostkov did... No, he's not dead. No one's dead.
No one's dead except for blonde guy, I guess.
All that opium's dead. That's kind of it.
The blonde guy's dead.
The blonde guy died, yes.
Yeah,
Bond gets a note from Phoenix doing some spying stuff, and James goes, over and out. And he's like, all right. He's got to go in. He goes to a place with a bunch of wax museums. I know this was, or wax figures. Wax statues.
Yes, this is, Brad's place.
It's Brad's place. And Brad's there. He's replaying a battle about how he would have done it.
Yeah.
And Bond shows up. He's like, I've come to Kostkov. And he's like, you can have him as soon as I get my opium, man. And he's like, I threw it all out over
he's
the desert.
He's turned into a hippie.
Yeah.
I want my fucking opium, bitch.
He's truly an American.
Yeah.
He's like, I threw it all out the desert. He's like, ah, you could have been an alive rich one instead of now you're going to be just a dead guy. He said a lot better than that.
Yeah, no shit. Could have been an alive rich one, but now you're just a dead guy.
Could have been an alive rich man instead of a dead one.
Yeah.
So he pushes a button and the little miniature thing he's looking over. By the way, he's doing the miniature thing wrong. And he's like, and Bond's like, that's not how it went. And he's like, I'm doing it the way I would have done it.
Yeah, I'm doing it better.
So he pushes a button and a bunch of guns pop out. And it pushes James Bond back. Mm. And Brad grabs a gun and fucking starts shooting at him. And he has a gun with a plastic shield over like the faceplate.
Mm.
Like. And so Bond starts shooting at him, and he just hits the plastic shield.
Plastic shield, yeah.
And Brad's like, ha, 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 you're no match for my amazing new inventions that protect me. And I'm like, he could have just shot his fucking body. Why
like
his legs.
Body?
Yeah, it's literally his just his face.
Yeah.
I'm like, Brad, you know, Bond's too good of a headshot guy.
He always goes with a headshot. Yeah, because he wants the extra points in GoldenEye.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got to get those extra points. So then he just starts shooting at him. He's like, oh, you had your 8, now have my 50. And he just starts shooting his whole place up. Mm. They shoot up his whole place. It's insane. Like, they saw the goofy Bond shit where he literally, you know, Brad has his whole place rigged up. So he has a little remote control and he presses a button and Bond's in front of a little miniature cannon and a little mannequin like lights the cannon and it shoots at Bond. He's like, oh shit.
This is some goofy, like, man with the golden gun shit.
Yes, yeah. It's very goofy.
I
kind
of dig it, yeah.
Yeah, it is like the man with the golden gun.
Yeah.
So then Bond puts his little, like, Phillips bomb gizmo thing on a statue.
Mm.
And he then, you know, like, whistles, and then it explodes.
Sure.
And it crushes the wolf Brad. Whistle.
Yeah,
Brad
him.
And kills him. Also, it's very funny because he hides behind a statue and Brad's like, that guy is a pussy. Of course you'd hide behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, so you do have weirdos in your collection.
I wonder who the guy was.
I can't remember the name. I wish I would have written down, but I didn't.
It's fine.
So he's fucking dead. Brad's dead. And then a guy pops in and almost shoots Bond, but then that guy gets shot. Seems like one of Brad's henchmen. But it's just General Pushkin. He comes in. He's like, hey, I owe you that one, Bond.
Yeah.
Killed that guy for you. And then
because they're good friends, they go back.
Yeah, and then Kuskov appears, and he's like, "Oh, thank God, Brad! He had me held hostage for so long." And Pushkin's like, "Oh yeah, of course. Well, you know, we're gonna take care of you as a defector." And he's like, "What? No, no!" And we're gonna put you in prison. And he's like, "What about Kara? She's a defector too." He's like, yes, what should we do about her? And then we cut to her.
Bond's like, she's been naughty. Then he like spanks her.
No. We cut to her.
Okay.
This is new Bond.
Right. Okay. This is new Bond. That would be Sean Connery.
That'd be Sean Connery.
Yeah.
What would Roger Moore do?
Roger Moore would be like, defector? I barely know her.
And George Lazenby would just cry.
He would, yeah, he'd just be like, well, here's what I've... And then he'd just disappear. And Peter Sellers would probably do some racist shit.
You're probably right. But anyway, we cut to her playing cello. And there's a bullet hole in her cello, which I don't know if that came with a play.
That was earlier, yeah.
So then, in front of a whole orchestra, and some... So then they get introduced. Pushkin introduces her to, after the performance, General Golob, who says, this is a magnificent performance. And that guy is significant. The reason I bring him up is because he was one of the henchmen in From Russia with Love.
Oh.
And they actually wanted to bring him back and have him play Pushkin's role. But he was a little bit too old and too sick, I think. So they just had him
here
as a cameo, as like, oh,
that's
hey,
pretty cute.
It's cute. He's like, you're doing a great job. Like, who is this guy? I'm old.
I'm going to die soon.
Yeah, he's with her foreign services. He actually is like, I will get you a visa so you can like trick your place around and like tour. And she's like, oh, thank you so much.
That's cute.
And then this part's silly. But while they're talking about this, a bunch of the armed Afghanistan people show up and they have bullets all over their chest still and everything. And I'm like, what?
Why are they here? How'd they get through customs?
Yeah, exactly. It says, Cameron's here. He's like, oh, sorry we're late. We had some trouble at the airport.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, because you have a bunch of freaking weapons with you, which is very silly because it's like, they're not stupid. They're not going to bring guns with them to like, like a play or whatever, or a musical performance. Anyway, so they're like, she's like, where's James? And they're like, oh, well, he's sadly on assignment. She goes back to her room, kind of like, oh, I did it. And then she
James
sees.
James is there.
Yep. You see two martinis. He does a little whistle, which I guess is something they have where she recognizes his whistle. Mm. And she goes, kisses him, and she goes, "Oh, James." And then you see a thing that says, Kara's World Tour or something like that. And then the movie
she's
ends.
She's going on a little world tour.
Yep. Yeah. And that's that.
It's pretty cute.
It was cute.
Pretty cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's our first
entrance.
And second. And I guess the first and only other.
Yeah.
Only two episodes.
One of
two movies he's in.
Yeah.
Of Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that was The Living Daylights.
That was Living Daylights. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? It was all right.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it. Yeah.
I think I'd give it bullet hole wise. I'd give it like three and a half.
Yeah, I was gonna say 3.5. Well,
yeah,
I think
it's a very solid film. This is like solid. One of the first really good ones.
Yeah. Do you want me to read you some facts about
sure.
trying to find the new James Bond?
Yeah, let me hear.
So they're doing a lot of searching for.
Of course,
James
they
Bond.
Gotta get the right guy.
So they actually look for Sam Neill.
Oh, that would've been crazy.
Pierce Brosnan.
Well,
Timothy
maybe
Dalton.
One day.
Yeah. And they're figuring it out, and they're like, "Well, we're impressed by Sam Neill, and we really wanted to use him, but." Mm. Mr. Broccoli wasn't sold on the actor.
Why?
But then Neil's like, in 2022, he's like, "I never won that role." And then someone else was like, suggested like, "What if we got Mel Gibson for a two deal picture?"
Yikes.
Valued at $10 million. Broccoli was also not interested. So, you know. Maybe
good for Broccoli.
Maybe
he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Maybe so.
Get it? A broccoli head on his shoulders.
So then the producers were actually going to offer Pierce Brosnan the role after a 3-day screen test. They were very happy with him.
Yeah, he's very good.
But
what happened?
He was contracted to the television series Remington Steele.
Oh, yeah.
Remington Steele?
I grew up with Remington
Steele.
I
watched
Steele.
A lot of Remington Steele as well.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of this show before in my life.
Oh, really?
Goofing. Yeah, no.
Oh.
What is Remington Steele?
Damn, I thought we were going to have a moment where we connected.
I'm sorry.
Remington Steele's honestly basically James Bond.
Really?
It is legitimately.
Oh, no shit.
Like
no wonder they were like,
yeah,
this guy's perfect for the role.
Exactly. It's basically like budget James Bond. He would go around and do, you know, solving crimes, be a secret
agent.
What?
This sounds awesome.
It was cool. I remember liking it as a kid. I have no idea if it aged well or anything like that.
How many seasons
was there? I think it was like 4 or 5.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. So, well, let me read a little bit about Remington Steele. So, the announcement that he would be chosen to play James Bond caused a surge in interest in the series, which actually led to a 60-day option in Brosnan's contract to further the season in the series.
Right, right.
But the fact that they extended the series caused...
meant that he couldn't be a Bond.
Exactly. It caused dramatic repercussions where Broccoli withdrew the offer to Brosnan, saying he did not want the character to be remitted... character associated with the contemporary television series.
Right.
This led to a drop of interest in Remington Steele, and only 5 episodes were refilmed in the new series before it was finally canceled.
Damn.
So, like, brought it back, and then they were like, nah... And then they canceled it.
Do you remember the opening title theme from Remington
Steele?
I don't remember.
Actually, I have a memory. Here's the thing. I have a memory of downloading the ringtone for Remington Steele back when you would get ringtones.
Yeah, I remember.
I do not remember what it was. Maybe I'll have to play at the end of the episode.
He'll play at the end of the episode. Yeah.
But the edict from Broccoli was that Remington Steele would not be James Bond.
And then... Just two movies later.
Just 2 movies later. You're like, yeah. You know, actually, he's a pretty good...
You know what?
He's
actually pretty good.
You know, he did a pretty good job playing Remington Steele. I think he could do a pretty good Bond.
He also does look kind of a bit like Timothy Dalton. Like, there were certain scenes, like, when Timothy Dalton was looking directly at the camera, I'm like, that kind of looks like,
yeah,
you know, him a little bit.
I can mix him up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you gave this movie, what was it?
Three and a half.
Not too shabby. Guys, what are your thoughts on Timothy Dalton as a James Bond? Email us and email theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook or on Instagram. We are also on Blue Sky, and we also have a Discord. You can find it at any of our podcast descriptions. And if you want to listen to our previous 007 episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show no matter what it says, even if it is just for Remington Steele. We'll read it.
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Give me that sweet, sweet Remington Steele.
Do we want to like rate the Bonds, or should we do that for the next one?
We gotta do it when we see all of them. We have to have the whole, I mean, we gotta do it whenever when we end the podcast, whenever we decide to get out of here.
Because I remember we already did it with, like, the, you know, Peter Sellers and all them.
We rated the Peter Sellers Bonds?
Yeah, we rated the Peter Sellers Bonds and compared them to Sean Connery and stuff.
I feel like we need a much bigger pool.
Okay, all right, but we can wait until later.
We'll see, but because we already watched the next movie, we're not going to do Are We Gonna Watch Till You Can't? Because we're gonna...
That'll be in the next one.
The next one will be there.
And if you guys want to listen to it, find a new podcatching app. See you next week. Good night, everybody.
I was like, you gotta end it. You gotta free us.
I'm free us.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.